Writer Bobby Ann Mason has set many of her stories in rural western Kentucky. Her characters are often simple working-class types from small towns trying to make sense of modern life. Mason's latest book is a short biography of Elvis Presley. Her subject might fit in well with Mason's fictional characters. She grew up on a farm in Kentucky and says she could easily identify with Elvis, who was from Tupelo, Mississippi.
We knew a lot of the same things, and we listened to the same songs on the radio, and lived in a lot of the same world. My parents were very much like Gladys and Vernon, Elvis's parents. I see them as country people, and throughout the book I'm trying not to lose sight of where Elvis came from and who he was really underneath.
Yeah, you say you were hearing the same things on the radio. I guess you both were hearing Delta blues and rhythm and blues.
Oh, exactly. My daddy and I would stay up late on Saturday night and listen to that stuff from a Nashville station, and I listened to plenty of Memphis stations. I remember hearing Elvis in 1954 and 55 when he first came out with That's All Right, Mama. He was our boy.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. That's all right, Mama. Just any way you do, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right, Mama. Any way you do.
You get the feeling you want to freeze things right there and say, "No, Elvis, don't go to Germany. Don't find those drugs. Don't
exactly.
Meet the Colonel." This is Elvis's manager, Colonel Tom Parker.
Yes, and the reason Vernon and Elvis hooked up with him, I feel, is that they recognized his type, a sort of southern horse trader. They could trust him to do the deals for them. They didn't trust lawyers and bankers and all the big people who run the world. And people like the Colonel, they understood.
But the Colonel took half of Elvis's take.
Toward the end, he did. I'm not sure he took that much at the beginning, but he worked his way up. And Elvis was willing to give him anything because he didn't want to go back to driving a truck for $37.50 a week. And the Colonel kept reminding him that that's what would happen if he didn't comply with the Colonel's ideas and the contracts.
But there was another thing. He went to Germany, and you can't blame the Colonel for what happened there.
Elvis didn't want to go in the army, and his mother just had fits. When he got to Germany, he was out of place. He thought his career was over. He took his father and his grandmother with him and rounded up some buddies from Memphis and tried to have a little Memphis on the Rhine. The army introduced him to amphetamines. I think that was what you're asking.
Right. And how did that happen?
Oh, amphetamines. He could stay up all night and do night patrols. He liked them, and he thought they were quite fine because they were prescription drugs, and doctors approved them. And so when he got back to the U.S., he kept using them. And this was his drug problem from then on out.
So you had the drugs, you had women, you had the Memphis Mafia around him, and he sort of goes into this arrested development. Is like permanent adolescence.
Well, he didn't have his mother around anymore as any kind of guiding force. He could do whatever he wanted to, and he had the money. He had to deal with his fame, so he created a little isolated world. Elvis was a very introspective person. He read all the time, and he wanted to understand who he was and why he was picked to be Elvis, the phenomenon.
Well, he made a try in 68. There was the comeback concert on television.
Which is the resurrection of the rock and roll Elvis that people had gotten so excited about. And then here Elvis is maybe 34 years old, and he's an adult now, and he's wearing a black leather suit. And he has never looked better. And he's performing some of those old songs, That's All Right, and he does Lottie Miss Claudie and a few others. And this is the quintessential Elvis.
Well, Lottie, Lottie, Lottie Miss Claudie, gal, you sure look good to me. Well, please don't excite me, baby.
then it all spirals down. You know, it's pills. He had a horrible habit. He started, he had this gun obsession for a while, and deep debts, great financial obligations. Mm-hmm. Do you get a sense that people say, well, the guy was just trash, and that's how he ended up?
A lot of people feel that, and that's what I'm trying to get underneath, the stereotypes about him. Here's what they know. Spangled jumpsuits. He shot out TV sets. He had sideburns. He gorged on peanut butter and banana sandwiches, and he gave away cars to people. And that adds up to a rather outlandish image, and it's not really who he was. He was a country person, and he didn't lose sight of that, even though he felt embarrassed by a lot about it and tried to change his accent. But he was loyal to that world, and he didn't end up the way he did because he was from the country. It was because his dream got him in over his head, and you or I would not have handled it any better, I feel.
Although we'd like the opportunity.
Oh, sure, sure.
Writer Bobby Ann Mason. Her book, Elvis Presley, is the latest installment to the Penguin Lies short biography series. From NPR News, this is Morning Edition, produced by Jim Wallace and directed by Barry Gordimer and Van Williamson. The production staff includes Steve Monroe, Ben Gilbert, Sarah Mobley, Jim Wildman, Shannon Rhodes, Chip Grabo, Cindy Carpian, and Shelley Franklin. Executive producer is Ella McDonald. Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Bob Edwards.